And today's date is Friday, July 23rd, 2021. I'm currently in Brooklyn, New York. Well, Manhattan, actually, right now, but live in Brooklyn. And then my conversational partner is Mariana Abavovich, and she is my mom.
And my name is Mariana Babovich, and I'm 60 years old. Today is July 23rd, and I am currently in Rochester, New York. I will be talking to Adrian Babovich, and he is my son.
Awesome. So to start off, I want to ask, I guess, like the first one, and I think this is like the most like, I don't know, relevant to like how you live your life. So like I'd say you live life pretty unapologetically. Is there something that like triggered that in you, or have you always lived that way? If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. And, I don't know if I would describe myself that way, but it's interesting that Sejal, my friend whom you know very well, agreed with your description. And it made me think about it. I think like part of it is that I have always been like that. I was the youngest child, like you are. So I think there was less pressure on me than on my brother. To be whatever my parents wanted me to be. That is one. So I was more strong-willed. And but then the second thing I think came from the life experiences and also coming to the States in a way, and going through the experience of war and understanding that, you know what, it's it. How would I say it? I don't say it is what it is because it's such a silly saying. It's like, you have nothing to lose. Like there was a point when it doesn't matter anymore to me what other people think. It really doesn't matter. And it's sad that, when you are younger, before your age or your age, that there's too much, like, what other people would think. Who cares what other people would think?
No, I think, well, I do have another question coming from that, but I think just that's something like you've instilled in me, I guess, because I definitely have friends in my life who, they think everyone's watching every single action that they're doing, or like they're like, oh my God, I'm embarrassing myself, or blah 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 blah. But I think some people are just so hyper focused on like that everyone's paying attention to you, when like in reality no one cares, like no one is purposely singling you out and thinking, oh my God, they're so embarrassing, or like they're doing this or they're doing that, or they look bad or whatever. So that's something I think you've like definitely like instilled in my life. But going off of that, like I just thought of something else. Is you were saying like you might have felt that way when you were younger. Like, do you know like I don't know, a particular moment where you kind of like shed that? Because I know in the past we've like talked and you said like the years when you were like 26 to 30 were like your favorite years. Like, do you think that's when something happened? Like, when you like, did you used to kind of have that feeling of like, oh, people are thinking about me, but then you kind of just had that moment of like realization, like, I don't need to live life for anyone except for myself.
I think like, part of it was formed because of my mother. She always wanted me to create me in her image of who I would be. Like, and it was like literal, like she would go and buy me clothes, which I hated. Like literally. I hated it. And she bought me a coat, I remember. And these were expensive things, back in Bosnia when we were growing up. And I wouldn't wear that coat for the whole year. So I think part of it is it was my strong reaction to to her and refusing to be who she wanted me to be. It's also a little bit silly, but I wish we had more. But she was a strong personality, and for me it was either like let her totally overwhelm me or reject her, which also is not the best. Oh, regarding the 26 years, being 26 year old. I don't know, something happened. I don't know what happened exactly, but at that time I sort of like started figuring out life. And you know, like I felt less lost in life.
Yeah. I can, that make, I mean, no. I don't know. Hopefully that happens.
I don't know. You know, I don't know why it is. I wish, you know, I kept, like I was telling Andre, your brother, at certain points in life, like go and have therapy, because not because anybody has some deep needs, but it's just so easier if you talk to somebody and figure out your life earlier. And, you know, it really, I think, like, you know, talking to somebody who is professional makes it easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was good advice. I was say, I mumbled, I said, I hope that happens to me when I'm 26, that I figure everything out. But kind of going off of what you were talking about with your mom, I just wanted to also ask, like, what was your, because we don't really, I feel like we haven't really dived into it before, but like, what was your childhood like? And like you were just saying, your mom kind of was trying to model you after herself, or model you after someone that was like, whatever, what she thought was like perfect. But what parts of your mother and father do you think you embody? And then that's both in terms of like how you process and work through the world, and then also like just applying it to your parenting style. Like, I mean, I don't think you've ever tried to make me into someone, but like good and bad, I guess. Like, what do you think you've like inherited from that?
You know what?
Sorry, it's a lot of questions.
No, I know. And yeah, I know. And you know, the way that we, you know, my brother and I grew up were very, it really was different. It's like, you know, it, if you watch those Italian black and white movies, it's more like that. Literally like black and white movies, Italian from 50s and 60s, although I didn't grow up in 50s, but that's how it felt. It was a different, really very different world. And regarding my, so it's hard to make any comparison. Like if we stayed in Bosnia, I think it would be, that part of my life would be more integrated, but it's very hard to integrate that with the life here and now. Really hard. It's a different culture. It's a different, everything is different. Everything is different. So, okay, that is, I don't know if that answers anything. But the second question, what did I pick up from? My father was more quiet, sort of like thoughtful and analytical. And he was not a person who would be like shouting or anything. He was like more intellectual. He liked reading. One of my memories is at that time, it's a sort of like a strange concept. I don't know why, but you would order books. It's not online, but you would, I don't know how you would get it. There would be a list.
Like a catalog?
Yeah, like a catalog. Yeah, I forgot that word. And then you would order books, and I would remember we would be sitting, the two of us together, and, you know, we would be picking the books. And, you know, I never thought about it, but it was actually him and me reading mostly. So what I got from him, I think it was that analytical side. It's like that thoughtful side and the intellectual side. But on the other hand, my father had absolutely no sense for, like, music. He was absolutely tone deaf. And while my mother sang beautifully, she really had beautiful voice. And I think from my mother, I got that sort of like a sensibility and really the interest in arts and in music and, and in any arts, you know. And she was, yeah, I don't want to say she was pretty crazy, but there was a lot of ups and downs in her behavior that were not easy to live with. But still in that, you know, in that sensitivity, there was a lot of that, how would I say, like, you know, it also, she gave me the gift of being sensitive to arts.
So you think you got your art from your mother, like,
oh, definitely. Art,
like appreciation and everything? Definitely. Did you go to like a lot, I mean, this wasn't like one of the questions or anything, but like, it's maybe just a minor question, but like, did you go to like a lot of museums and different stuff like growing up and like get an exposure? Because I feel like me growing up, like you exposed me to a lot of museums, art from like day one kind of thing. And like,
We didn't have that much, but I did have a piano classes, you know, even mm-hmm. She tried it, and she tried also with the guitar classes, but I don't know why I hated it. I think I really didn't like the guy who was teaching me. And then also none of my friends had those classes. So I don't know. I just like, I felt like lost something there, but you know, like she did try that. We didn't have that many museums. And we didn't travel much.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't like, you know, you just pick up your things and you go and travel. Like travel was a big deal, and you traveled only when you had a good reason.
Yeah.
So, but there was definitely in her, there was some sense, and it's more sensibility than, you know, that the house was beautiful. You know, you simply, we were not poor at all, but in the society, there was not money. Nobody had a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Going off of that, well, actually, I was going to say, kind of going back, I guess I should have asked this after we were talking about the 26 and stuff like that, but like, what is, I mean, I guess we're still in that same realm, but what is one of your like favorite memories from when you were my age? If you can remember anything from like 24, like you can say 25, 23, it doesn't matter, but I don't know. Just like maybe a sense of the time and the place and the world you were living in at that time.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I can't really tie it to the age. But what I did like when I was your age, I started working. And I was working as a teacher of English as a foreign language. And it was for adults. It wasn't at school.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one. And I really liked it. It was like courses.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. And then also it was a time when there was a lot of happening I lived in Sarajevo, and there was a lot of happening in music and in arts. You know, like, you know, somehow we lived in the period we didn't even know how it was quite an important period. And there was a lot of happening there was a lot of innovation.
Mm-hmm.
In many sense, there were some very cool radio programs that were made that we listened really. There were like the whole generation was creating a lot. So yeah. I think that is the part I enjoyed. And I had some good friends, and we had, you know, like we didn't have much money, but we just like, you know, enjoyed living.
Yeah.
Pretty much like what you do now.
Yeah. Getting a little bit of money.
The best life. Like, you know, like there was a lot we couldn't do, but we did what we like, you know, could. And
you live by your means kind of thing, but, or like you even enjoy. Yeah.
But we were also in the place where things were happening. So,
yeah,
you know, so that was, you know, quite interesting. And, you know, at that time, before that, I worked at the Olympics, and, you know, there was also a lot of money came, and a lot of things were happening around the Olympics.
Oh, I was thinking in my head right now, you were 24 when when you were working the Olympics.
Yeah, actually, you're right.
Yeah, that's so
funny. I was working the Olympics in 24. Oh, yeah, that is the part I really liked. I worked in the winter time. I totally forgot about it. I worked as a tour guide, winter tour guide. So that's when I learned to ski. I'm not right then, but after that I learned to ski. And then also I was in the mountains all the time with tourists, and you know, that was really fun. And I had more money because I was really making money on that.
Yeah.
But I think maybe, you know, now that you're saying that was maybe the best part of my life, because I was working daytime, I was working as a teacher, and then the weekends mostly I was working, and you know, in between I was working as a tour guide. So yeah. I was in the mountains all the time. I was like, you know, we were just zooming around the town.
Mm-hmm. I guess then shifting into when you had to kind of come to America, I guess the first question that kind of like open it up is just like, what would you have told your younger self to prepare for in life? Because obviously that's something that's very like, you didn't know that was going to happen. And I guess in retrospect, like, how was that transition into America? Like, it's probably something you didn't even think would ever have happened in your life. You know, like, think back to when you were 24, you never thought, maybe you did, but
I never wanted to come to the, I was never interested in like our perception of the America was all the fat people. No, seriously, that's all like, you know, like in some silly movies, and there was those soap operas, Dallas, and, you know, with people like, it was like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, yeah, no, I was not like, I would say that we were Europe centric. And if there is a place I would have liked to go would be England or, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
we were very Europe centric. At that time, I was also traveling. I went to Spain and I spent a month in Spain learning Spanish. So, you know, like, very Eurocentric. I worked for the British during the war. I worked in the British embassy. I worked for the British Council. So I had no interest in coming to the States. I really did not. Yeah. I didn't have any American dream. It's like Australia. Like it's somewhere else. Yeah, coming to it was not good experience at all. Because you know, I did not want to come here, but you know, we did, and I'm glad in the end that we did. But it was not good experience. We also came in Rochester where we did not know anybody, and there was no support. And we came in February when it was like horrible here.
Yeah.
So
like no horrible weather.
It totally was not a good experience at all. It was pretty traumatic. And and the way that the refugee resettlement works is, you know, and the people who were involved in that process were really shouldn't have been. So it was not, it was not a good experience. I would not do it ever again in my life.
Well, yeah, I mean,
unless I was on the top of the volcano exploding, I mean.
I think with the circumstances and everything, like, I don't think it would, I guess I wasn't trying to see it as like, oh, do you view it as like a pleasant experience now or that it was like a good one, but more so like, I don't know, I guess more so just like, what was that day-to-day experience like, or what? Like,
it was, yeah, I don't know, like when you're somewhere where you don't know anybody, though I spoke English, I did not understand what people are talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, like, you know, somebody said go to DMV. I didn't know what is DMV.
yeah
like, you know, and that was before internet, unfortunately. I think now with internet everything is so much different. You know, like, that was before internet, and then you don't have anybody to ask, like, you know, what is DMV? What do I do? What do I do at DMV?
Yeah.
Or motor vehicle, MDV, whatever it's called, Department of Motor Vehicle. So, like, you know, there was that. It was like, you know, feeling very, very lost. Very lost. It's like, you know, worse than, like, you know, you're in the streets of some Arab countries, and you know, like, country and nobody, and you know, you can't speak language.
Yeah
So it was very unnecessarily traumatic.
Yeah, I mean, and then also you had Andre too at the time, so that probably added on to everything, like having a small child to deal with. When did you feel like you got your footing, though, I guess? Because I feel like you, I mean, I don't know, again, I was a baby by the time you were, well, I mean, I was a toddler or whatever, by the time you went back to get your master's and everything at the U of R. But to me, viewing your life, it seemed like you got your footing pretty quickly and like you kind of knew what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. No?
I lost 10 years And you know, so? I'm not happy about it. I feel I lost 10 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not lost, but I wish I lived them differently. No, yeah. It took me a longest time. I think when you were maybe 10, 12, that I felt I was coming back to myself.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a long time too. So yeah, Rochester is not an easy place to, I think we wanted originally to come to New York City, and somebody I know advised us against it. And I wish we did. I think I would feel much, much more at home in New York City than how I felt in Rochester.
Just because it's like more of a melting pot. What do they call it? Like a salad bowl. Like there's just
It's more diverse. It's cultures. You know, there are more people like us. There would be more, you know, people you could ask for help. There would be like Rochester is Rochester. It's like, you know, that there is, it has that overwhelming like whiteness and
affluency, like kind of thing.
Yeah.
Suburban. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, provincialism, like provincial, it's a provincial place deep down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but now it's a place where I'm used to living.
Yeah. That's interesting though, what you were saying about that you feel like you lost 10 years. Like we had never like talked about that before, but I guess with what you do now in terms of work, are you kind of, do you view yourself, because like you work with refugees and you work in like the nonprofit sector, like do you view that as a way that you're like helping people kind of lessen that impact, like that kind of like what you had to struggle with for those 10 years, like you're hopefully lessening the amount of time that they're dealing with on equal grounds?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm doing it consciously. You know, it's a field that where I fell in. Mm-hmm. My first job was in the refugees, related to refugee services, and then I got further on it and on. I wish it was like more planned. It just, I fell into it and then I stayed into it. And somehow life was always very busy that I did not have the opportunity to stop and take time and say, okay, I really want to do this or I want to do that or this is something where I would like really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish it was, but like, you know, really, yeah.
Fell into your lap, kind of.
Yeah, this is more you're swimming and then you go whichever way you can. This is like, you know, if you had a boat, you would have a more different, you would have more control.
Yeah. You know,
like,
that's a good, yeah.
I felt like, you know, that I was swimming all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then just trying to catch something, whatever.
Yeah. On that note, also, mm-hmm. I guess, like, what did you want to be when you were growing up then? Like, I guess that's like a perfect pivoting point in terms of like, what did you envision for yourself?
When we were growing up, it was really different. We did not have this openness of space that you have in the States. And I don't think even the kids in Europe have that open space. It's like, you know, the paths in, like, you know, you go to this school, that school, that school, and this is what you can do. It doesn't have that you go and do liberal arts and then you basically can do anything that comes your way. I first went to the school, to the high school for gifted kids for math and physics. And I was okay there. I was like middle of the road. And then I realized that that's not my strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really excelled more into reading, writing. I loved languages. And, you know, I thought like, you know, being an interpreter or translator would be much. And that's the road I picked. Because I studied languages.
Yeah.
So, that's how it went. But it wasn't that, you know, that like, you know, my options were either being a doctor, which I totally didn't want to be, or a lawyer, which I totally didn't want to be, or, you know, or or something along the line of a teacher, or, you know, there was never a discussion. There was never wording, oh, you can be whatever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
But it was more so you have like paths to fulfill.
And these paths were not very, like, you know, defined. Some of them were culturally, how would I say, like, you know, designed and invisible, you know, but that's, you know, it's not that women were oppressed, but it was not also that you saw too many women. You did not see women in position of men of power.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't mean that they were really oppressed. You know, women were strong, you know, where I come from. It's like, you know, they would get their way one way or another. Yeah, but it's time to ask you some questions because we have 40 minutes and you ask me. What do you remember, like, you know, going back to that period of coming to the States, and you were born here in 1997? And something that you remember positive. It's easy to remember negative things. You know, some of your early memories.
Actually, I'd say like most of my childhood, pretty positive. That might come as like a surprise, but like, even I remember when we lived in like the apartment complex that, you know, probably would be defined as low income and whatnot, and it seemed like to be much more so like a refugee kind of hub. It was actually kind of interesting. I don't want to go on a whole tangent, but like with that apartment complex, it's funny is a bad word, I guess, but it's interesting to see that every time there's a different war or something that's going on in the world, it's the refugees of that country live in that apartment complex. So like I remember growing up and it was like all Bosnians and Albanians. But I don't know, I loved it. Like I remember, like I still remember being like 2 years old or whatever, and just like playing around on like the carpeted floors and like all the like kids in that apartment complex, like just like hanging around, bothering like Andre, just like having a good time overall. And then when we moved to Arondakoy, so we moved to like a more affluent suburb, I'd say, but like not affluent at all or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it was like we struck gold basically by just finding a place there. But it was because they had like a really good education system for like me and Andre. But even then, like it was really positive. I'd say like, I don't know, there wasn't too much negative. Best times, I guess, were just like being able to, you know, the best times were when like family from like Bosnia would, or like the ones that live in like Sweden and stuff like that, they would come to America and then we'd go on like camping trips, like me, you, dad, and Andre, and just like the whole family. And like, we'd do that thing, which I don't know. I'm like just thinking about it in like retrospect that like some people, you know, it's just funny how each person has their different viewpoint of like what is like bliss or whatever, because, you know, some people, like some of my friends, they're like, oh yeah, I went to Cancun when I was like 6 years old with my family, or like we went to, I don't know, we went to like islands off of Spain, I don't know, I'm like, you know, just like these super like beautiful places, and I was like, I went camping and it was like so much fun, like I don't know, that was just like it was just a good time working with your means. It didn't feel like I was like, I never felt like I was poor or underprivileged, or you know what I mean? I felt very much like secured in my spot.
Did it bother you that your parents talk with accents?
No. I mean, maybe when I was younger, I guess, like dad had such a thick accent that I'd always hear it from like my friends that like, oh, is your dad Russian or whatever? And then just being like, yeah, basically. But I say like after I was like, I don't know, 8 years old, it never really bothered me. I never thought it was like this like weird thing. I actually thought it was cool that like I could understand another language and that my parents could speak a whole nother language and that I had like some cultural background and something other than just being like American or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. So on the same note, did you feel that, you know, you were treated differently because of your last name or
background? I remember, I still remember this from like kindergarten, because I think I came to kindergarten 3 days late, because we were in Bosnia visiting like family and stuff at the time. And so I came into kindergarten 3 days late. And I remember that like the teacher thought I was from Bosnia, like that I had just hopped off off the plane from Bosnia. Mm-hmm. So like she pulls up the world map and everything and is like, this is where Adrian's from. And I was like, I've actually lived here my whole life. Obviously I was a little kid and I couldn't say anything like that, but I was just like, yeah, this is where I was at. And like, I saw my family and everything, but I just know that the kids for a long time thought I was like, I landed off the plane in Bosnia, but it was funny. They, I don't know if I'm like missing the question completely, but I was no one ever really like, I'm like thinking back now to like kindergarten, no one ever like bullied me or like teased me for being Bosnian. I think a lot of them actually thought it was like interesting, like that it was like this different thing, this like, what is this? What is this place? If anything, growing up, like later on, like swimming, when the announcers would just butcher my last name, that was like,
it actually bothered me.
Yeah, I know it bothered you. I mean, it bothered me too, but it just like
it's sort of like it's cute, it's funny, but it's like you know, they're you know, like between two of you, you swim for 15 years, and like you cannot. I mean, I know it's not always the same people announcing, but it's like. Yeah,
it's like, how could you not, like, I don't know, it's just, it's like, yeah. At least Abobovic would be better than like Abobabovic, like when they would just like go off on like these random tangents of like last names. But the worst was, I don't know if you remember when I graduated college, but when the lady was like, it was just horrible, it was like Adrian Toneo Abobabovic, and I was like, you just completely butchered it. But that one like hurt a little bit, just because I was like, really, like We're this far along, and I just know there are so many more harder names to pronounce at a college reception than that. But anyways, yeah.
What did you appreciate about living in Rochester? I know you consider yourself now Brooklynite.
I love Rochester as much as, I think I like it actually more now moving to Brooklyn. I mean, I think everyone says that kind of thing when they move somewhere, they're like, I have a more of an appreciation. The one thing I'm just going to get out of the way, I just hate about Rochester, is just the winter. Like it's something that I think if one thing could change in that city is just the winter. And then I'd be like, oh, this is the perfect place to live. But I think what I appreciate about it, this might be cliche, but like just the slowness of like it all, like coming back from, like, I'm excited for, in 2 weeks, I'll be back in Rochester. And I'm just excited to be by the lake and be by the water and, like, just sit there and lounge and not worry about, like, a thing, just enjoy my time. So I think something I really enjoy, like, something that is really pivotal about Rochester is just the fact that it's, like, a city that still has like the nature surrounded by it. So I can always like escape into that. It's not like I'm surrounded by like concrete and buildings like I am here in Brooklyn. Like it's like, yeah, I can go out to the beach here, but it's an hour long train ride versus I live 5 minutes away from the beach in Rochester. So that's, I definitely appreciate that about it.
I know you're interested in your Bosnian heritage. And so like, you know, if you can talk a little bit about that, and then also, the question of belonging, you know, mm-hmm. because that is a big question for me. I don't think I belong anywhere anymore because both places, like, you know, I don't fully belong here. I don't fully belong there. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, you're in a different place, and if you had any, when you go back to Bosnia, not that we went too many times, but, you know, do you have a sense that you belong there, or that you, you know, that there are some connections?
Yeah. I definitely love like my Bosnian heritage. It's something that I think I've been embracing a lot more in like the past few years. I think like every person has like a little bit of confusion in terms of just like what makes up someone or whatnot. Like a little just tangent or whatever, but I just remember like growing up, I'd always had like these weird obsessions over just like different like cultures. Like I remember being obsessed with like Russia or whatever for a little bit. And then I was obsessed with, I mean, I love like Denmark and like Danish stuff. And like, I like was obsessed with like French, like Parisian stuff. Like I always like get in these like little obsessions over like certain things. I'm like, oh, that's such a cool culture. But I've kind of realized in the last like 2 years, like, I'm like, I love like just Bosnia and Yugoslavia and just like all that, like that's kind of come from. And there's like such a rich history that's there. And I think when that like ticked was when we went to see that MoMA show, the Concrete Utopia. I think a lot of that kind of hit. And then like what cemented it was obviously going back to Bosnia in like 2019 and seeing all our family and like getting to the question of like belonging. Like when I got there, like it definitely feels like a second home to me, even though I wasn't born there or anything. But I mean, we've been like, I went there when I was little. I went there when I was like a preteen. I went there as an adult and whatnot. We've always like had family come visit. And it definitely feels like a home to me. It's definitely a place that I want to like live at for a couple years of my life. Like I don't know when. I would like it to be sooner rather than later. I'd rather like in the next like 2 years kind of have some time to be there for at least like 3 to 6 months, even longer if need be. And I obviously want to get my like Croatian citizenship and whatnot. So that maybe I can even be there for even longer. And go to school there again, get my master's or something. No, but that's just like a whatever. But yeah, and I definitely feel that love from like our real family and whatnot. So
Да сам пребаци мало на досадно ще причат на английском. А ово заднје питање. Кад би могло кад би могло с татом да причаш, шта би волио њега да си га могу питати? Или нешто што те интересува из његовог живота?
Should I say like what you just said or no?
No.
Like just, okay. Oh no, it doesn't. Okay, for dad, I think that there's a lot. It's sad because I think, and I've talked to this with like other people who have like lost their parents or whatever, is that you kind of, when you get into your like 20s or like when you get into finally being an adult, like you start knowing your parents for like who they actually are. So like, I feel like me and you, like, I mean, we've always been very close and we've always like whatever, but I think in the last like few years, we've definitely like, I've learned more about you. You've learned more about me, and like it feels much more like there. But with dad, I didn't get to really experience that. So there was like a lot that it's like I was just starting to kind of understand who he was and like where he came from, and like I guess I don't know, stuff I want to know is just more so like about his growing up, because I feel like that was just shrouded in mystery kind of always. He'd always give me like tidbits, and it's not that he tried hiding anything per se, but I think he tried putting like rose colored glasses over a lot of things. Like he would just kind of be very general over what like happened in his life experiences. So it'd be really good to know just like what and how he like grew up.
Da, možda kad odemo u Sarajevo možeš se naći s nekim od njegovih prijatelja i jer to je jedini način da...
Yeah, and something on top of that, just to like kind of go back to your last question and form that question, is one of the reasons I want to go back to Bosnia is to work on like personal work. So like being a photographer and everything is I really want to kind of investigate and learn more about like my cultural ties and like my family history. And I know that like dad comes from a pretty small family and like comes from a small village where there's like a lot more information that might be present about him, his family, and like who's behind, like, I don't know. So something I just want to do is like kind of dive into finding more information about like our family and like our lineage and just how that personally like is attached to me and my work and how I process life, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it is such a central part to my like actual identity. Yeah.
Mm.
That's, I think, pretty good, right?